Welcome to the latest episode of the Gospel Podcasts. These recordings are published weekly by the Christians that assemble at the Hospital Hill Gospel Hall in Dunfermline, Scotland. Be assured you are in our prayers, and we know that God will bless you for listening. Further information is provided at the end of this short podcast. I now pass you over to the latest message recently recorded at the Gospel Hall. Thank you.
We're going to read a parable that the Lord Jesus taught, and we find it in Luke chapter 18, and we're going to read from verse 9. So our parable concerns two men, both of whom come to the temple, both of whom come to pray, but that is just about where the similarities end, as we're going to see. So it's the Lord Jesus who is speaking, and he, that is the Lord Jesus, verse 9, spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, and the other a publican, or a tax gatherer. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased or humbled, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now we know that the Lord will bless this reading of his word, as we think about the teaching of the Lord Jesus here. Now we want to focus particularly upon the second man in our parable, the tax gatherer. But it's well that we notice that the purpose for this parable being taught was that the Lord Jesus wanted to get a message across to those that were self-confident, that trusted in themselves. And they trusted in themselves that they were righteous, that they were right before God. And actually they weren't. And what we shall see is that both these men were not right with God. The trouble was, one thought he was, and his language demonstrated that. The other, the publican, recognized that he wasn't right with God, and his approach and the detail that is given to us is appropriate to what he understood about himself. Now they both come to the temple to pray, and we're not going to really focus too much upon the Pharisee, but he was a religious man. As we know, Pharisees were the most strictest sect of the Jews' religion. A religious man, he knew the Old Testament Bible, we would say. And yet he is occupied with what he thinks he is, or what he thinks he's not. And so he thanks God. You notice that his voice doesn't get beyond himself. He prayed with himself. He addresses God, but he's speaking about what he thinks is true of him. I am not as other men. He thought himself better than others. He had to learn, as we all have to learn, that we are all sinners before God. And he's occupied with what he was doing. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Well, that might be so. But that doesn't give you acceptance with God. But then we are introduced, and we want to think about the publican, because his attitude is conveyed in a number of ways. We'll think a little of what he said in a moment. But he understood that he was at a distance from God, and he stands afar off. His position physically in the temple was indicative of his understanding that he was afar off. He was at a distance from God. And we need to understand that ourselves, that we too, just like this tax gatherer, in our sins, we are at a distance. We are afar off. But that's not how it ends for this man. But he appreciated that. He'd come to understand that he was at a distance from God. And then as he prays, the scripture, the Lord Jesus notes in the parable that he would not lift up as much as his eyes to heaven. I think he was ashamed. He was thoroughly ashamed of his sin. And he'd come to the temple because he was convicted about his sin. That's going to become very apparent when we think about his few words. But he was ashamed of his sin. He'd come to see it as God sees it. You see, if we speak to people in the world, they are sinners. We're all sinners. But their attitude towards it is different. They see nothing wrong with it. They just see that we have the right to live as we please. They don't see sin as it is before God. But here was a man that had realized that he was at a distance. Here is a man that realized just the gravity of what he had, how he had lived to this point. His sin was a burden to him, and he's ashamed. He wouldn't even lift his eyes to heaven. As it were, his head is down. He was ashamed to lift his eyes because he appreciated just how awful it all was before God. And that's where we need to come, to realize that sin before God is an abhorrent thing. It's not something that brings God pleasure at all. And then we notice that he smote upon his breast, and there was genuine grief and repentance on the part of this man. There was a change in him because he recognized that he wasn't right with God. That's why he had come to the temple to pray. And his prayer contains just a handful of words. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Our English translation maybe doesn't capture just the weight of it. The word "a" is not there, the word "the" is. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. That's what he said. Now, we're going to think about those words in a moment. But let us find out the response to those words. The Lord Jesus in verse 14 tells us, I tell you, this man, that is the man, the publican, who's just been speaking, went to his house justified. What that means is this, that he went to his house right with God. That's what salvation brings. We need to be right with God. In our sins, we are guilty before God, but we need to be right. And this man, having made that confession, he went to his house justified. The Pharisee didn't. The Pharisee thought he was wonderful. The Pharisee thought he was better than the publican. He thought he was better than others. He trusted in himself, and yet he wasn't justified before God. But this publican, having made this confession and this appeal, the Lord Jesus says, I tell you, the Son of God tells you, you could get this from no higher authority. It was this man that went to his house justified rather than the other. Now let's think about what he says. He appeals to God for mercy. Now there's something in this word that is more than just the usual word for mercy. So mercy is God's kindness shown to us. That God is able to meet us in our needs. And God is a merciful God. Says the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, as he describes the dreadful condition of men and women. But he says, but God, who is rich in mercy, on account of his great love wherewith he loved us. And so we present to you a merciful God, who is able to and willing to meet you in your need as a sinner. So he is merciful. But this word conveys something else. It is really the word propitious. God be propitious to me, a sinner. It's really connected with a very important truth in the Bible. And it's this that really has in view that this mercy that the man was looking for was on the ground of a righteous basis that could only be met by a sacrifice. And really, the Lord Jesus is pointing us to what was accomplished at the cross. And we read scriptures like this, as John would write in his first letter regarding the Lord Jesus, that he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. And what he is telling us is that in the death of Christ, God has been satisfied as far as his righteousness is concerned. In other words, God is not compromised in his integrity, in his holiness, in his righteousness, in showing us mercy, even though we're guilty. Because in the death of Christ, the Lord Jesus paid the price that was demanded by the throne of God. And the Lord Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. That's why the Father sent him. He sent him to be the propitiation for our sins. And this is the ground of appeal of this man. God be merciful on the ground of a righteous sacrifice to me, the sinner. And we're able to say this afternoon that God can be merciful to each one of us on the ground of Calvary, on the basis of what the Lord Jesus now is in heaven. He is the propitiation of our sins. Calvary is accomplished. The work is done. And God, as far as righteousness is concerned, is completely satisfied. And God can be true to himself. He can be just, in the language of Romans 3, and the justifier of them that believe in Jesus. You see, the God of to whom this man is praying is a God of righteousness. A God who loves righteousness, a God of holiness, a God who, as it were, cannot turn a blind eye to our sin. But in his love has provided a remedy in the person of the Lord Jesus. You see, men and women in our world today misunderstand what the love of God for the world involves. They think that the love of God means that we can live as we like and God will never punish us and God will never exclude us from heaven. That is a gross misunderstanding of the love of God. John 3 verse 16 makes that very plain. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so there is the danger that we perish. But God in his love has sent his Son that we might not perish, but have everlasting life. In the love of God, he has provided a sacrifice in his Son, the Lord Jesus, who has dealt effectively with sins. He suffered for sins, the just for us, the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And that's the ground of appeal of this man. God be merciful. My dear friend, that's the way we all have to come. We cannot come like the Pharisee. We cannot afford to come before God and say, I am not as other men. Well, because that's not true. We are. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we dare not come and speak to God in terms of what we are doing and expect to find favor. Yeah, that was the problem with Cain. He brought to God the fruit of his own works, and God refused his sacrifice. Didn't find acceptance because he brought to God what he thought that God would delight in, what he delighted in. And he discovered that God had already shown him the way he had to come There had to be an animal sacrifice. A life had to be given for acceptance with God. Here is a man that comes, and his ground of appeal is on the base, is on a righteous basis. But then he makes this very personal. To me, you can't get more personal than that, can you? He wasn't looking around the outer temple and looking at all the other people in the temple. He wasn't looking over and saying, well, there's an extortioner, I'm better than him. Or there's someone who is an adulterer, I'm better than they are. But that's what the Pharisee was doing. And he even pointed out the publican, even as this publican. You see, he was completely aware of his own position, his own guilt, his own distance, his own sin. It was to me. I need the mercy. I need the forgiveness. And then he says, the sinner. And you say, well, the man's not theologically accurate. Because there's more than one sinner in this story. They're both sinners. And you say, well, according to the word of God, all have sinned. So the man's not being accurate here in saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Ah, but that's how he felt. That's how he felt. You, Paul, when he reflected on his life, the Apostle Paul, he spoke about the fact that he was the chief of sinners. You see, that's how he really felt about himself. That above all the sinners of the world, he was the worst. That no one else could be as bad as him. God be merciful to me, the sinner. I wonder how you feel about yourself. You don't need to be, you don't need to think of yourself as the greatest sinner, but you do need to make this personal to yourself. Forget everybody else and how bad or good they may or may not be. Here was a man standing in the presence of God as if there was no other person in the world. And here was a dealing between the God of heaven and this man, this individual. And that's what it has to be for all of us. This is a personal interaction with the God of heaven. And the man appeals, God be merciful to me, the sinner. You say, was that call heard? Was that cry answered? Ah, yes, that's what verse 14 is teaching us. That call was heard. And that appeal did find an answer, a positive answer. The Lord Jesus says, I tell you. So here's an authoritative answer. This is the Son of God who's speaking. I tell you. This man went down to his house justified rather than the other. It was so simple in many ways, isn't it? It's not a long prayer. It's not a complicated prayer. It can be said in just a matter of a second or two. And yet it makes all the difference. You know, the scripture has beautiful expressions of how we can come into salvation. In the epistle to the Romans chapter 10, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, what does that mean? Well, maybe the best illustration is in the experience of Simon Peter. And he was walking on the water and he began to notice the waves and he began to sink and he simply called out, Lord, save me. Well, that only takes about a second to say. And the Lord saved him. You say, is God listening? God's listening. Is God able to save me? Yes, he's able to save you. And it's just a call, an appeal from the heart. A heart doesn't even have to be an audible call. Because God knows the heart. God reads the heart. Indeed, the psalmist speaks in a very solemn way. And he says that of God that he understandeth my thought afar off. Just the single thought. The Lord Jesus, there's an astounding statement in John chapter 4 that the Lord Jesus knew even what had gone into the ears of his opponents, the words they had heard. I'm saying that to you because what God is looking for is a heart response to him. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And the Lord Jesus ends this with a principle, a statement that is how God deals with people, on the ground of which he says, everyone that is exalted, everyone that exalteth himself shall be humbled. You know, God hates pride. The Bible says God resists the proud. And God will bring man's proud thoughts to nothing. So the question is this. If I have those kind of thoughts, if I think I'm just like the Pharisee and that everything is fine, God will bring that to nothing. And God will show me that my thoughts are utterly wrong. The question is whether it will be in time for salvation. You know, sometimes you hear men and women in the media, in their unbelief, and they make statements that make you shudder. They think about the day when they're going to stand before God, usually a God they don't believe exists. And they're going to ask God this, and they're going to demand of God that. And the simple fact is this, they'll do nothing of the kind. Because the scripture is very clear that every mouth shall be stopped. And every man will be seen to be guilty before God. And God will just bring out the works. He will just bring to remembrance what these people have said and done. And that will be enough to silence them in the holiness of his presence. God resists the proud. But he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You see, here is a man that recognized what he really was before God. He had nothing to be proud of. He's not speaking about how he is with regard to other people. He's not thinking that he's better than other people. He's not speaking about what he's doing. He's just appealing on the ground of divine mercy. And he's appealing on the ground of divine mercy. Standing afar off, see, his distance was real to him. And he was ashamed of his sin. He humbled himself. He made himself low, but God lifted him up. He went away justified. He went away right with God. And so the Lord Jesus told this parable because there were in his company men who were just like the Pharisee. He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. He didn't miss the mark, did he? In his preaching, in his parable. I'm sure these Pharisees knew exactly who he was speaking about. Because trusting in yourself is a dangerous place to be. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Have confidence in the Lord, Jesus Christ, not in ourselves. Don't trust in men. Don't trust in your own ability. But as far as salvation is concerned, it's all important that we put our confidence in Christ. Shall we pray?
Thank you once again for taking the time to listen to this, the latest episode in the Gospel Podcast series. We trust that God will bless you for listening. And if you've not already done so, that you would take this opportunity to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the eternal salvation of your precious soul. If you would like further information, or indeed a free personal copy of God's Word, the Bible, you're welcome to contact us. Full contact details can be found on our website, www.hospitalhillgospelhall.org. May God bless you, and goodbye for now.